How y'all doing? We had a good trip. Everybody's asking if we had a good trip up here. Yes, we had a good, well, I say up here. It's down from where we are. Coming down here, and we like getting out of Missouri every now and then, coming to Arkansas. I was born in Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, 1966. That puts me out of the state of Arkansas before the Clintons got a hold of it, so didn't hurt me too bad. We had a pretty good trip coming down, but we got into Arkansas. It kind of held us up a little bit. We saw, as soon as we crossed state line, saw a sign that said clean restrooms ahead, and we stopped and cleaned 13 bathrooms on the way to get here. So that's what it said, clean is that not how you do it when you get to Arkansas? I don't know. Anyway, it's good to be here. Did you bring a Bible tonight? We're gonna have some fun this week, and I appreciate the Doyle family, all y'all Doyles. I love y'all, and appreciate your friendship, fellowship over the years. I appreciate inviting me here a few months ago, and I appreciate inviting me back. Okay, that's something I don't get too often every now and then. But anyway, I appreciate the invite to come back. We are streaming live right now. In fact, on that, we tried to do this last time we were here, but I made it work this time. I had it all figured out, and we got it to work. And so everybody turn around, look at that camera, and wave to everybody. I don't know if they can see. I've got it just on me. So anyway, I appreciate the ability to come down here and preach the gospel. Like I said, we're going to have fun this week, and we're going to look deep inside the Word of God. We're going to look at things like galaxy clusters. We're going to look at the universe. Did you ever think about the word universe? What does it mean? Uni means one. What's the rest of it? Verse. One word, one verse, one book. God created everything by speaking it. So if you need something created in life, let God speak it. Amen. He'll do a good job of it. Amen. So anyway, we're going to look at things like that. We're going to look at the body. We're going to look in the body. We're going to look at the design of the body. We're going to look at DNA. We're going to count things in the Bible. But I'm here to be a blessing to y'all, and I'm here to magnify the word of the Lord. I was always taught to never take God's name in vain. And I found out that when you do, it tastes like soap. Amen? It's supposed to taste like soap. Amen? But when I found out that there was something that God himself exalted above his name, his word. Thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name. That means that we ought to reverence God's word. Amen? Take your Bible. Did you bring a Bible tonight? 1 Corinthians 14, turn there. And I know it's a custom in a lot of churches to stand when the scripture is read, but if you stand every time I read scripture, you will be standing a long time, because I like to pile on a lot of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 is that passage that deals with tongues. Let's not shy away from that. No, you're not going to hear me speaking in tongues, because we already have it done for us, and we already have the interpretation of those tongues. And maybe tomorrow night or Wednesday night, I'll get a little bit more into that, how 1 Corinthians 14 proves the King James Bible. It does. It proves it. It proves that God was doing exactly what we thought he was doing, and that is he was preserving his word, and he was translating his word. Now, let me give you a little bit of my testimony. I mean, I share this. I don't mind saying this. I was born and raised a Free Will Baptist, but at one time in my life I was really hungry, so I started venturing out, and I went to a Pentecostal revival. Now, I'll tell you, I heard a good message, okay? I heard a good message, but I was so hungry for what God, I was hungry for God, and 3 years of Bible college had taught me that God wasn't here. So I went looking elsewhere, and I went looking for experiences, and I went to this Pentecostal revival, and I went down to the altar, and of course they had everybody standing up, not kneeling at the altar. They had everybody standing up, and so I was standing up, and I knew what they was going to do. And I prayed. I said, God, You know I'm not looking for nonsense, and I'm not trying to stray away from you, but I'm starving to death, I'm hungry, I need something. If this is not it, then keep me from it. Don't let me fall into nonsense. So they come around and they put hands on me, and while I'm standing there, I could hear women behind me going, like that. And the Holy Ghost is quoting scripture, because that's what the Holy Ghost does. And the Holy Ghost was quoting, let your women remain silent in the churches. So I knew that that wasn't right. And so they come around, touch me on the head, and they expect, I could hear Johnny Bench behind me going, come on. And he's waiting for me to fall so he could catch me, and I didn't fall. So they come back around and they did it again, and I didn't fall again. And I walked out of there and I said, God, thank you. I will never do that again. I'm not going to tempt you, but God, I'm hungry. And I need something from you. And it was not too long after that series of circumstances in life that God led me back to the Bible that I was raised on, that I grew up on. And God said to me, Mike, this book is perfect. You've always known it in the back of your mind and in your heart. You've always known that this Bible's right. Now I'm going to teach you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And God's been doing that, and I love him for it. So 1 Corinthians 14, let's pick it up in, verse 27, because I'm going to head that way this week. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret it. Now that's the rules. How did Paul know to write this down? The Holy Ghost gave him the exact words to write down. And if the Holy Ghost gave the rules, the Holy Ghost has to follow those rules as well. Okay? So he said, verse 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. So I'm going to give you loads of things this week. Maybe some you've heard of. If you've been listening to some of those DVDs, that's fine. But maybe some things you never heard of before. Let two or three witnesses out of this book judge whether I'm right or not. Because only God can be true 100% of the time. Every man is a liar. So I can say things that are wrong. In fact, I know that I have. So God is the only one that's going to be right. So if anything, verse 30, be revealed unto another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one. Notice that God is always putting everything in order, is he not? He said, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that by course. And then let one interpret it. And then he says here, for you all, verse 31, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be what? The word comfort is a Holy Ghost word. And if you knew what I knew about how the Holy Ghost, how deeply related he is to the Bible that you hold in your hand. If you ever want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, read your Bible. You'll get more Holy Ghost than you can handle in one day, I guarantee you. Amen? But that word comfort, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and let this one out. Did you know the word comfort in your Bible is mentioned exactly 66 times? How many books are there in your Bible? That's just the tip of the iceberg of things that I know about how much in order this book is. See, I'm going to start off showing you patterns. Because I recognize patterns. When I see patterns, I recognize them. And I know that when you see something in order, you know that something intelligent did that. And I have an illustration that I use. If you're walking down the sidewalk of... Are there sidewalks in Pea Ridge? I didn't notice. I tried to not drive on them. When you're walking down the sidewalk and you look down, you see a penny on the ground. You bend over, pick it up. Oh, somebody dropped a penny. You walk 10 steps, you look down, there's another penny down there, and you think somebody's dropping money. Somebody must be pulling their keys out of their pocket and dropping money out. But then you notice 10 more steps, there's another penny. Now, so far, you've walked 20 steps or 30 steps, and every 10 steps, there's a penny on the sidewalk. And now you're going, this is odd. So you look, you walk 10 more paces, sure enough, there's another penny down there. At that point, it is logical to assume that somebody is not just accidentally dropping pennies every 10 steps. somebody, and then you start going, am I on candid camera? Am I supposed to pick these up or what? You go 10 more steps, there's another penny. Now you've done this five times. Now you're going, who's putting pennies on the sidewalk every 10 steps? Because nobody in their right mind would ever think that somebody is accidentally dropping a penny exactly every 10 steps or 10 feet, putting it in the same place every time, and they've done it five times. You walk 10 more paces, now there's another one. 10 more paces, now there's another one. You don't know exactly what it means, but you know that somebody, there's even a rule among lawyers that says, if you see a turtle on a fence post, it's a logical assumption that the turtle didn't get there by himself. Does that make sense? Some things are just axioms. They are things that doesn't need a lot of proof in order to, they're just that way. And so we recognize, everybody can recognize patterns. When ladies make quilts, they do it in a specific way. Some of you ladies are making quilts. You know exactly what I'm talking about. What do you put on quilts? Patterns. And how do you make quilts? Based upon a pattern. Who remembers the days when we used to make our own clothes? What was the first thing you went to the store to buy? A pattern. Okay? Because brother's britches got to look the same way as his younger brother's britches do. Amen. So you use the same pattern. That's what God has helped me to see in not only in this world, but in the Bible. There are patterns everywhere. And when you see, how many have ever seen a picture like this before? You know what it is, right? Because there's more than one cluster of stars in the universe that's shaped exactly like this. Now, how did evolution, with no intention whatsoever, pattern billions and billions and billions of galaxy clusters to where they all look exactly the same way, and we're supposed to believe that that happened by accident, like we're supposed to believe somebody's dropping pennies every 10 paces on the sidewalk for you to pick up? You see what I'm saying now? So look at verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Verse 33, for God is not what? The author of confusion. What does an author do? He writes books. And you have a book written by God that is absolutely in perfect order. And I hope that if you are even questioning that, like I used to at one time, because practically all of Christianity now questions the order that's in our Bible. They question it. They say, well, maybe there's mistakes in all the translations. That's what I used to think. That's what I used to teach. That's what I used to believe. And I don't believe that anymore. I believe that God wrote a book, and God didn't go on vacation after that. God has watched over the coming together of that book. Do we believe that there are 66 books in our Bible by accident? No. God is the one, even though there's not a verse in the Bible that says there shall be 66 books in the Bible, there are enough patterns in the Bible to let us know that there should be exactly 66 books in the Bible. And I'm going to show you that this way. I'm going to show you from your Bible that your Bible's right. Amen? So we already identified what this is. This is a galaxy cluster. This is not one star, but it's a cluster of billions and billions of stars, sort of like our Milky Way is a galaxy similar to this. If you go out in the country and you look up, you stare long enough, your eyes get used to seeing a milky white band across the night sky. That's because probably our planet, our Earth, is somewhere like right in here, and it's this line of stars that we're seeing. All right, let me show you this picture here. This is one of my neat things to look at. Everybody take your fingers, and I want you to put them together like this, and just barely let enough light shine through there. Y'all look silly doing that. You know that? If you were to go outside on a clear night and put your fingers together to where you could just barely see the tiniest speck of light coming through your fingers, that's what this whole picture represents. This is from the Hubble Space Telescope. It's called the Hubble Deep Field. And they're able to see even farther now than what, this is an old picture. They're able to actually see farther now than when this picture was taken. You see all these dots of light here? Those are not stars. Those are galaxies. Even these little bitty ones back here, they're galaxies. Each one of these dots represents billions and billions of stars. And what's amazing is that most of them all look like this one. Could that be by accident? There is no way. Now, remember, this whole picture represents this. Now, if you were to multiply that by however many times that is expanded throughout our line of vision, the Bible's right. I believe every one of these are angels. Now, why do I believe that? Because the Bible says they are. The host of the heavens, the heavenly host, are angels. When Satan takes his tail and drags one third of the stars to the earth, what does he do? What do we know for a fact that he's doing? He's casting what? A third of the angels down to the earth. Angels are basically made of fire, light. This is exactly what they are. And the Bible says that there is an innumerable company of angels. You know what the word innumerable means? Can't count them. Can't count them all. Now, for those of you who know a little bit about math, get your calculator out and get ready to calculate something. You have an innumerable amount of stars, an innumerable amount of angels, which means that the number of them cannot be counted. They keep going and going and going and going. And yet, God knows exactly how many one third of them is. Because Satan is going to take a third of an how far do numbers go? According to the federal government, they can go on and on and on because that's how much we're in debt. Amen? The numbers keep going and going and going and going. And to us, they never end. And yet, God knows how to sever off exactly one third of an innumerable company of angels. Now, think about the number one third. One third as a percentage is what? 33%, but 33.333, how far does that go? To infinity, and yet God knows where it ends, and he knows where to cut off one third of those angels exactly. Now, next time you think God can't figure out your problems, if God can figure out one third of innumerable number, he's got your problem nailed already. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. For this they're willingly ignorant of, that by what? The word of God, the heavens were of old. How did the heavens get here? The word of God. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament. How did God create all of these? Did he wave a magic wand? Did he throw pixie dust in the air? No, he spoke them. Just like he said, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now notice that number. Why did God say us, our? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, mathematically, we don't even understand that, how three are one, and yet we just believe what the Bible says. Amen? So God spoke these things into existence. Now, watch this. I'm going to show you a numerical pattern. And at first, it kind of took me a while to figure this one out, but I want you to grasp this, all right? This is called the Fibonacci sequence or the golden ratio or God's ratio, and I'm going to show you why in a minute. In this line of numbers here, if you were to take 0 and 1 and add them together, what do you get? 1. Now, if you take 1 plus 1, what do you get? That's the next number in the sequence. 2 plus 1 is 3 plus 2 is 5 plus 3 is 8. 8 plus 5 is 13. 21, 34, 55, 89. 144, that's an interesting number. It's 12 times 12. 12, these numbers mean something in the Bible, by the way. What does the number 12 mean? Think of things in the Bible that were 12. What do you have? 12 tribes, 12 apostles. Okay? Genesis 12, God made a promise to who? Abraham. God's number for his promises is the number 12. He fulfills it to Abraham by giving him 12 tribes. He fulfills it to us, 12 apostles. By the way, New Jerusalem is a city built four square, and it's got 12. So there's 144,000 is going to be in there. It's got a 12 of this and 12 of that. I mean, everything is about that number, 144. But anyway, here's what I'm going to show you, this sequence here. If you were to take and make a spiral, if you take the center of that spiral, and let's say this is 1 inch, the next cube in that spiral would be 1 inch. When you add these two together, you get 2. You add these two together, you get 3. 2 plus 3 is 5. 5 plus 3 is 8. And 8 plus 5 is 13. Notice in the universe, when things are spiraled, they always have that exact same ratio in that spiral. It always starts out small in the middle, and it widens out as it unspirals, but it does so according to a ratio, according to a specified pattern. And so you've seen something like this before, right? That's called the golden spiral or the golden ratio or God's ratio. You see it here. Same spiral, and it's done, multiplied dozens of times. How about this? See the same spiral and the same ratio. Starts out small in the middle, and as it extends out, it widens and gets bigger, and it all follows the exact same ratio. If you're counting numbers and you want the ratio is, I hope I get this right. No, I better not. 1 to 1.618 is the ratio. Somebody might check it. Who has a phone? If you type in Fibonacci ratio, let me know what it is. 1 to 1.618, I think, is the ratio. Okay? How about this? If you look in grass, grass is spiraled, is it not? It's rolled up, and the spiral follows that exact same pattern. Now, what are the chances? Let's go back. What are the odds that two unidentical things on this planet that have a spiral to it end up having the exact same ratio in that spiral? What are the chances? What about three things in this universe having the exact same spiral? What about four things in this planet that have the exact same spiral? Who found my ratio? Anybody? What is it? 1.618032786. Okay, you can stop right there. The ratio is 1 to 1.618. Okay? Don't worry, I'm not testing you at the end of this. Okay? See the spiral? Same ratio. You see it here? It's the exact same ratio. So what do we have? 7 things, 8 things already? That are different things on this earth, and yet they all have the exact same pattern to it. Is that by accident? Is that by chance? Patterns are always intentional. Always. Take a look at this, a chameleon's tail. You see it? The spiral is exactly the same. Now, I was showing this to one of my daughters, Alicia. She'll want me to say her name so she gets the credit. You know how the middle sister always is, right? And I was showing her this spiral, this, and I was saying it's 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, and she said 33. And I went, what? And she said, those numbers, if you add them up, 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 5 plus 8 plus 13, they're 33. Can you think of a guy in the Bible that was 33 years old? Who was it? It's Jesus. And he's the creator of everything that the Bible says that by him were all things made that were made. And without him was not anything made that was made. And so he was 33 years old, and this exact same pattern shows up in everything that Jesus created. It's like his signature is in his creation. Look at that. It's the exact same spiral in a wave. Look at that. When you let the water out of the bathtub, or guys, you're going to like this one. When you flush the toilet, excuse me, boys never flush the toilet, I'm sorry. When you do that, gravity is what dictates how this water goes down into a drain. And somehow, some way, gravity is telling you that water, as it goes down into a common place, has the exact same numerical pattern. How can that be by accident? And all of these have to do with life. That's alive, that's alive, that's alive, but what about water? Without water, life is not possible. Amen? So, the Bible calls that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the what? The word of life, because the word is also not just our Bible, but the word is Jesus, that they will have the exact same pattern. The Creator is leaving you His signature. Now, when you take like these old Hebrew scrolls and you roll them up and you just sort of let go of something that's rolled up, when it halfway unrolls itself, if you'll notice that it makes the exact same scroll spiral pattern. Even if you roll up, I don't know, if you roll up newspaper, if you roll up copper wire or whatever and just kind of let it go a little bit, it'll always have the exact same pattern, the exact same ratio. What is this? Does anybody know what this is? It's an umbilical cord. It's what connects the mother to the child, and it's where the child gets his what? Life. And notice, it is the exact same spiral pattern. Did God do that? How could any of that be an accident? And then, so take a look at our galaxy again. From the very largest things that we can see in the universe to even the smallest things, I'm going to show you that in a minute, they all have the exact same pattern. It's like God took the heavens and He rolled them up like a scroll. Because He did, and He will. I could look at this stuff all. How is it that all of these different clusters of stars ended up with the exact same ratio? It had to be done by a creator. Amen? Science cannot handle stuff like this. So, Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His what? Handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, boy, I could chase rabbits on this, but I'm not for time's sake. Now, watch this. Watch this. Isaiah 34, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a what? And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of their... These two verses right here, if you add up the total number of words, you'll end up with 66. How many books are there in your Bible? And the word comfort just happens to be in your Bible 66 times exactly, because the Comforter is the Holy Spirit, and Paul said that we, through patience and comfort of Scriptures, might have hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, after describing the rapture, says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words, with the Bible. Who knows how to play the piano? Take a look at this. From C to C, you have 13 notes. You have, and those are all Fibonacci patterns, 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. You have two black notes here, three black notes here, and then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 white notes here, 8 and 2 and 5. These are all Fibonacci patterns. And so from 1C, let me play this on the piano here. I know I'm getting out of my camera, but from 1C, that's out of tune a little bit, by the way, and that C there, exactly 13 notes, 8 white notes, and 5 black notes. They're all Fibonacci numbers. And when you add the numbers up, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, what do you get? 33. Even music carries the pattern and the signature of its creator, Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? What is that? No, it's an x-ray of a hand. Okay? Did you know that your design and your body carries that exact same? By the way, there's one thing you need to know about me. I never let out at 8 o'clock. Okay. This is your finger. This is the end of your finger. Here's the middle part of your finger, and here's this bone here, and this part of your hand here. I want you to notice something. If I were to take these two bones, they are the exact same length as this next bone here. It's because the ratio in your hand is the exact same ratio, 1 to 1.618. If then I were to take, since I can take these two bones and they're the exact same length as this bone, then I can take this bone and they are going to be the exact same length as this bone here. Even in your hand, God designed that ratio, and it's in more places in your body. What is that? See the spiral? It has, and who forms the hurricane? God does. The Lord answered Job where? Out of the whirlwind. He did it twice. Now think about it. If one of this spiral pattern, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, if one of that represents a number 33, how many of them does two represent? You Arkansas hillbillies can do math pretty good. 66, and that's how many books there are in the Bible that created all of these things. Amen. Does anybody know what this is? It's the inner ear canal. It's how you hear things. And I want you to notice that it has the exact same ratio. Okay? Because remember, all of this is about the Word of God. Faith cometh by, and you can't hear unless you have that, and that matches the same pattern as a rolled up scroll. The heavens rolled together as a scroll. There's a picture of it there. It's like a trumpet, the ear horn or an ear canal, and it has the exact same pattern. So there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So the speech has that same pattern, and what hears the speech also has the exact same pattern. What is that? Bighorn sheep. It's a ram's horn. Notice the same, exact same spiral here. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. So what were they told to do in the Bible? They were to make a long blast with what? The ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, what are we waiting to hear for our rapture theme? The trumpet. Notice that what sounds out the alarm matches the same pattern as what receives the alarm. Same pattern. And then he told us to make two trumpets of silver. So if one trumpet has the spiral pattern and its number is 33, how many do two trumpets represent? And how many divisions are there in your Bible? Old Testament, New Testament. And by the way, they're silver. Do you know why? Because the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7. What does the number 7 represent? Completion, perfection. How do we know? You can go to Genesis chapter 2 and read about the Sabbath day. God said he sanctified it. He hallowed it. He caused everybody to rest. The number 7 represents his completed work. It represents it is finished. It represents it is perfect. By the way, 70 times 7. Who knows what the multiplication of that is? What is 70 times 7? 490. Did you know that Psalm 12 is the 490th chapter of your King James Bible? And it tells you that the words of the Lord are purified seven times. Is that, that's a penny on the sidewalk. And it's not there by accident. Amen? So I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a what? And whose voice did he hear? It was Jesus, wasn't it? Isn't it sweet? Look at that. That's your ear. Your ear has the exact same ratio pattern. It's because it was made by the Creator. So two ears represent 66. God gave me that last night while I was laying in bed thinking about what I was going to say down here. He that hath, let him hear what the Spirit saith. It's very important when you think Holy Spirit that you think the Word of God. Because if you somehow think that the Holy Spirit is disconnected from this book, then you believe a lie. You believe a lie. The Holy Ghost, you go read John 16, the Holy Ghost only says what Jesus has him to say. He's limited by... Jesus himself said in Hebrews 10, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." If following the book was important to Jesus, why is it not important to the churches anymore? That's where my heart is. So here is the largest thing in the universe. A spiral galaxy. Same Fibonacci ratio. The numbers of the Fibonacci pattern are 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13... 21 is the next one, and 34 is the next one. This is your DNA. And your DNA is rolled up just like a scroll. And the pattern that it's rolled up in just happens to be the exact same ratio as everything else carries in the entire universe. So from the largest thing in the universe that we can see, which is a galaxy cluster, to the smallest things that we can see, DNA is 21 angstroms wide, 34 angstroms tall. Don't ask me what an angstrom is because none of my tape measures had one on it. But I think it's really, really, really small. But they measured it, and they know that these numbers are correct. And they're telling you that that all happened as an accident. And I'm telling you it didn't. Now, I don't let out at 8 o'clock, but I'm going to change my little PowerPoints here. So if you need to get up, rest yourself a little bit. Y'all know where the bathrooms are, right? And if you get really tired, you can go up my camper trailer, lay out there for a little while. Just scoot over when I get ready to get in it, all right? All righty. Are you glad you came so far? Say amen. Amen. Let's talk about, this is one of my favorite things in the world to talk about. We're going to talk about deoxyribonucleic acid. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Two things you need to know about me. Number one, I don't let out at 8 o'clock. Number two, I don't let out at 9 o'clock. Except for if everybody leaves. You see, I could keep on going because I'm streaming and recording. So if y'all leave, I still got people on the other side of that camp. They'll hang with me, all right? Anyway, Psalm 139:16. Always, and mark these things in your Bible. If I put verses on the screen, that's one thing. Open your Bible up, look at them. Make little notes in here, okay? Psalm 139:16. You're going to see David's description of DNA. Now, let me tell you that everything that we know about DNA is only about 40, 50 years old. Most of what we know about DNA is about 20 years old. And most of the 20-year-old knowledge that we have about DNA, we found out in the last few years. And what is happening is scientists now are able to understand DNA and how it's coded. Back before our forefathers and our ancestors even knew what it was. They knew the Bible terms. They knew the word seed. They understood that. But they didn't, none of the scientists before the 1950s really understood exactly how seed itself worked. So then they started doing, I don't know what kind of test they did, but they figured this thing out. And here's what they found out. Rather than DNA, and you know what DNA is, right? Everybody, I mean, I went to Africa. You was talking about Kenya a while ago, and I appreciate you bringing that up, and I appreciate your support of Brother Mike and his work out in Kenya, because I'm going to tell you something. If America ceases to be hungry for the Word of God, I know a million people out in Kenya that'll eat it up. They are absolutely hungry for the Word of God, and they are, listen, Kenya still to this day is standing their ground, and they're not stepping back from the position that sodomy is illegal in the nation of Kenya, and they enforce it. They still enforce it in Kenya. And Barack Obama went over there and said, why don't you change that law, you know, that you have against sodomites, and then we'll give you all kinds of money. And the president of Kenya said, take your money and go back to America. We've got bigger problems to deal with in our country. God will bless them while he destroys America for being too much like Sodom. Amen? I may talk about that this week too. I'm going to try to have fun. Okay? So anyway, but I was going to do this presentation in Kenya, and I'm just going, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to talk over their head, but I don't want to think that they're just a bunch of dumb Kenyan hillbillies. Okay? And so I asked the interpreter, I said, does everybody here know about DNA? And he said, DNA? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, that's how we know who's the father of such and such a kid. I was going, that sounds like America. Okay? That's what we know about it. But everybody's DNA is unique. Everybody sitting here, your DNA was written exactly by God himself. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Psalm 139, verse 16. The King James Bible says this better than any Bible in the universe. Because it says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, underline that word book. In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now remember, we didn't know how DNA worked before 1950. David's writing this 1,000 years before Christ, so that'd be 3,000 years from now. David is writing this by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. DNA is something that we can't even see with our best microscopes, and yet David nailed it perfectly. He described for you everything that science now understands about DNA. That DNA, when they first began to learn how to read the code of DNA, they found out that it wasn't just a mumbled, jumbled, disorganized thing where they would have to really search to figure out how the genes worked and how they were all written out. What scientists found out was that DNA was written just like a book, and it was written in order, because God is not the author of confusion. So DNA is a book. Science knows it now. David knew it 3,000 years ago. Not only is it a book, but it's a book that God wrote. And God selected everybody in this room. He handpicked exactly how he was going to write. Who in here has siblings? Brothers, that's brothers and sisters for hillbillies. Did you ever notice that your siblings, they kind of look like you and kind of act like you, but thank God they don't? Amen? I mean, you came from the same parents. And yet God hand-selected each and every genetic code that was going to be who you turned out to be. And from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, everything about you was already written out. You see, not only did they find out that DNA is a book, they found out that DNA is a book of prophecy. Because let me show you how this works. In thy book, all my members were written. So here's all the members of your body. You have the nice looking members, and you have the not so nice looking members. The Bible calls them comely parts and our uncomely parts, right? But the uncomely parts, they tend to serve the best purpose, while the comely parts, okay? But they all This church, Brother Jamie, is a body. And every person who is a part of this church is a member of that body. And not everybody in this church was designed to do the exact same. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, if we were all the hand, then there would be no feet. If we were all the eyes, there would be no ears. So God hand selected everybody who's to be part of this church. God hand selected, Brother Jamie, who he wants to be here. Because if they're not written in his book, they shouldn't be here to begin with. They can't be members if they're not written in the book. Does that make sense now? Kind of takes the burden off, doesn't it? God told me this years ago, Mike, I'm the one who picks who gets to come to church. I'm the one who brings the increase. Amen? I'm the one who does that. So when I let God have back what was his job to begin with, my burdens, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I found out he wasn't kidding, okay? So let me show you how this works. In thy book, DNA, it's like a rolled up scroll. All my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there were none of them. You were conceived, you were nothing but a little cell in your mother's body. But from that moment, God said, it's a living human being, meaning thou shalt not kill it. Amen. So deoxyribonucleic acid is what we call DNA, packaged in 46 chromosomes. Chromos means color. Think of something in the Bible that has a lot of colors. A rainbow. Guess who the rainbow is? Turn to Genesis 9. We're going to chase our first rabbit of the evening. That only took me an hour. Genesis 9. Look in your Bible. Oh, I love this. Look in verse 11. God said, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. Now when Jesus comes back, how is he coming back? In the clouds. And he said, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. The quicker you turn there, the quicker we get home tonight. Amen? Ezekiel chapter 1. This is Ezekiel getting to see the throne of God. And Ezekiel chapter 1, he sees the likeness of a man in verse 26 on the firmament, on the throne. And he said in verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Guess who the glory of the Lord is? It's Jesus. The glory of the Lord appears in the clouds. And in Exodus 16, they saw the glory of the Lord appear in the cloud. Who is it that's coming in the cloud? It is Jesus. Amen? And the cloud that they followed was a pillar of cloud. Tornado, which has a spiral to it. Guess what ratio that tornado is? 1 to 1.618 or whatever. Chromosomes are called chromosomes because they're different colors. So a rainbow actually has how many different colors in it? 7. Amen? That and a rainbow basically is light. That the colors of that white, isn't it something that 7 different colors make white? When I mixed colors of paint, when I used to paint for a living, they never came out white. And yet 7 different colors end up being white light. Jesus is that light. And there's 7 different colors in it. And he's the glory of the Lord. He's the rainbow seen in the cloud. and he's clothed with a cloud. Do you remember somebody in the Bible that had a coat of? It's Joseph. He was his father's beloved son, wasn't he? And he clothed him. See, the rainbow is the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And that symbol of the cloud coat that Joseph had on was he was receiving his father's glory. Just like Jesus. Jesus said in John 17, give me the glory that we had before the world was. And they just happened to call it chromosomes. Because chromosomes is where the DNA is. It's like you've got 46 boxes in every cell in your body, or 46 packages, and they all have a portion of your DNA in it. And it's in practically every cell in your body. Here's what we know about DNA. It's rolled up in a helix form, like twisted. The Bible word for it for twisted is crooked. It has two spines here and here. This is made of sugar and phosphorus. Phosphorus, because what do you dip bullets in so you can see them shoot at night? Phosphorus means light bearer. Sugar, it is made of phosphorus and sugar. And it looks like, what does it look like to you? Can you think of a story in the Bible that has a ladder in it? And guess who that ladder was? See, Jacob saw the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. And Jesus said in John chapter 1, hereafter you shall see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is a book, and it's also a representation of Jesus Christ, because he is the book. Amen? And here's what joins it together. This is what makes DNA what it is. You have two rungs like on a ladder, two spines, but it has four bases or four chemicals that join it together. C, G, T, and A. Now that stands for cytosine, guanine, thymine, adenine. I'll give you $50 if you can tell me what I just said. Just think C, G, T, and A. Okay? So there's four different compounds that link DNA, the two strands of DNA together. And how they're linked together is what gives us the genetic code, because it's sort of like Morse code. You have dots and dashes that make letters. Does everybody understand that? It's the same with DNA. And this is what the scientists were stunned at. They were stunned at its simplicity. That you take four chemical compounds, and how they're joined together is what determines the letters of each individual word that makes the genes. The genes are what determines your hair color, or whether that hair color is going to stay on you or slide off of you. When you reach a certain, see, it's a book of prophecy, isn't it? Well, I can just imagine Brother Jamie Doyle, about 15 years old, just big, brown, long, bushy, thick hair, and his DNA said, not for long. God said, we're going to pluck it out before too long. And it happened, right? Blame your daddy. Or somebody, I don't care. But they found out the simplicity of DNA was just four chemical compounds and how they were joined together, just like Morse code. They were able to read DNA exactly like a book. They were able to read the combinations of the four base pairs, and they were able to understand that these three make this amino acid and these three make this amino acid. Amino acid is like a letter. So if you have, let's say that you have like a dot and two dashes in Morse code, you have the combination of three of the four base pairs, A, C, and T. Well, the scientists know that A, C, and T together make this particular amino acid, or let's say it makes like one of the letters in Morse code. So let's say that these three together make one letter. By the way, there's four compounds, and yet God designed that only three of them together would make one letter. For there are three that bear record. Think of what you're saying. A record is written words that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are And that verse is the one that's missing out of all the modern Bible translations, Brother Jamie. Think about it. Okay? So, amino acids are letters. And there are 22 amino acids that make the language of DNA, and there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Look at Psalm 119, you'll find out. Turn to Psalm 119. And what is Psalm 119 about? The whole chapter, what is it about? It's about the Word of God, isn't it? And notice that every 8 verses, you have a division of a Hebrew letter. And there's 22 of those Hebrew letters, and there's 22 amino acids that make the language of DNA. Not only is it a book, it's a book written in Hebrew. 22 letters, 22 amino acids. And they want you to think that that happened by accident. And it didn't. There's another penny 10 steps ahead laying on the concrete. Amen? Amen. So do you believe we came from monkeys anymore? I mean, only some of them. That must be down towards Louisiana, amen? Them Cajuns down there, right? Yeah. Psalm 119, 156, greater thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. The word quicken means to be made alive. You want life in your church? Give them Bible. You want life in your home? Have a Bible and read it and believe it. Memorize it, study it, think about it, meditate on it. Amen? God will give you life. God will breathe life into everything. So here's the structure of it. Remember, it looks like a ladder, but it's coiled, it's twisted. Okay, they have the 4 base pairs. By the way, I didn't show you this. You got a Bible here, and remember it has 2 divisions, right? Old Testament and New Testament. And the Old Testament foreshadows Christ. And the New Testament explains Christ. So the Old Testament points forward to a group of books that we call the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The rest of the New Testament points you back and explains what those Gospels was all about. But it all goes back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And who showed up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Jesus, or the Word. So look at your DNA. Your DNA has 2 rungs, and they're joined together by how many base pairs? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because in those 4 base pairs, that's where the Word is. Just like the 4 Gospels of your Bible. So your DNA is a book, and it was written by its author who is not the author of anything confusing. So if God wrote your DNA, who has the right to change it? Monsanto. Am I speaking above your head? What does Monsanto do for all its billions and billions of dollars that it makes every year? What do they do well? They rewrite God's book. Because God didn't just write the book of humans. He wrote the book of mosquitoes, frogs, birds, corn, wheat, barley, oats, cotton, soybeans. God wrote every one of those, didn't he? And they're God's book. God left you. Turn to Revelation 22. God left you with very simple instructions. By the way, if you need to go lay down in the camper, Lisa will give you the keys. Revelation 22. God gave you instructions on his book. He copyrighted it. Verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. See, it's the book of what? life. So God wrote the DNA of every species in this world, did he not? And he said, do not take any words out and do not add any words to it. We wouldn't dare do that as preachers, would we? No, because we got to stand before God one of these days. Well, so do they. And what was their motivation? What are these seed companies, what is their prime motivation for altering the genetics of all the seeds that they're selling on the market? What's their number one motivation? The love of money is still the root of all evil. This Bible's right. And God saw this coming, did he not? And God warned us. See, our forefathers could not have known this. So we can't blame them. But right now, we now know what this, we know what seed is. We know what it is. We know it's a book. The scientists know it's a book. But they won't admit to you that they think books have to be written. They think if you put a typewriter out in the field, 10 million pieces of paper, that in 50 million years, it'll write a book all by itself. It doesn't work that way, does it? Books have all, by the way, I got to show you this. Notice this was made of sugar and phosphorus. How sweet are thy words unto my taste? It's made of sugar. Your DNA is made out of sugar. And when the word is eaten, it tastes how? The entrance of thy words giveth light. That's the phosphorus part of it. It's made of sugar and light. And when Ezekiel was told, see this, Ezekiel, see this roll of a book in my hand? Eat it. And he ate it. What did it taste like? Honey. John, take this book and eat it. And he ate it. Tasted like honey. What did manna taste like? Honey. Because it's made out of sugar. So is your deoxyribonucleic acid. So is your DNA. Oh my goodness. I could show you things. Oh, the word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. There's the Old Testament, the New Testament right there. I'm skipping over. Now, I've got all of this on DVD back here if you haven't seen it already. In fact, here's the first occurrence of the word book in your Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 5. Turn to Genesis 5. I'm going to show you. We're looking at patterns a while ago. Let me show you a pattern in Genesis 5. Genesis is the Old Testament. It's the ministration of death. Right? Because that's what Paul said, that the ministration of death written and engraven in stones. That's the Old Testament. So here is Adam. This is the book of the generations of Adam. This is the first time the word book is used in your Bible. And I want you to notice that in that same verse, he used the word generations. And the word generations has the word genes in it. Genetics. Because if you look at Genesis 5, you'll see the genetics of Adam handed down to his son, who handed them down to his son, who handed them down to his son, and you and I are Adam. Every human being, there's like 7 billion people alive on this world right now, and every one of them are the product of one man. Adam was carrying every one of us in his loins. Was he not? We were there. Okay? So we are Adam. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And I want you to notice in verse 1, Adam's mentioned one time. Look at verse 2. He's mentioned one time. Look at verse 3. He's mentioned one time. Look at verse 4. He's mentioned one time. Verse 5. He's mentioned one time. So that's 5 times in Genesis 5. And the 5th time he's mentioned, Adam lived 930 years and he died. Now I'm going to show you a pattern. If you look back in verse 3, you see Adam's son, Seth. He's mentioned one time in verse 3, one time in verse 4. He skips verse 5. He's mentioned one time in verse 6, one time in verse 7. And in verse 8, all the days of Seth were 912 years. And what happened to him? So twice now, it mentions their name 5 times. And the 5th time they mention him, he dies. His son was Enos. If you count Enos's name, he's mentioned 5 times and he dies. His son was Canaan. Canaan's mentioned 5 times and he dies. Mahalaleel, 5 times and he dies. Then Jared, 5 times and he dies. Methuselah, 5 times and he dies. The only one to break the pattern is Enoch. And what happened to Enoch? He was translated. He didn't die. But in as far as patterns go, there's a pattern. There's a recognizable pattern now in Genesis 5. Now that you know it, you'll never see it any different. Okay? So, there are patterns all in your Bible. So Adam was 930 years. That's the first occurrence of the word book in the Old Testament. The first occurrence of the word book in the New Testament, turn to Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 1. What does it say? The book of the generation of who? Jesus Christ. And Matthew chapter 1 is the 930th chapter of the Bible, and Adam lived 930 years. It takes you from the first Adam to the second Adam in the new covenant. And as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive in the New Testament. Are there patterns in the Bible? There are patterns everywhere. I love this. I love this. We know we have passed from death into life. By the way, every one of your chromosomes, I'm kind of getting ahead, every one of your chromosomes look like a cross. That's sort of at the end of it, but let me see what I can find here that's interesting for you. Oh, look at this. So in thy book, see the Bible, all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, because God's not done saving people, is he? When as yet, on the day of Pentecost, there was none of them. And yet prophesied in God's book was the name of each and every member of the body of Jesus Christ. In fact, how far back did God know you were going to be saved? Before the foundation of the world, he already wrote your name in the book. When you got saved, God didn't go, "Oh, I'm glad we finally got him. I was kind of worried there for a while." That's not what happened. God knew you were going to be saved from a long time, and he actually wrote your name down in his book of life. Just like every gene of every member of your body was written down in your book the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. Isn't that beautiful? Y'all are getting sleepy-eyed, so I'm going to show you a couple things here. I'm going to let you go tonight. I'm going to give you something to think about. When I say Bible, Brother Ellis, what do I mean? King James Bible. God's Word. God showed me a long time ago that this Bible, King James Version, was right in everything it said. I accepted that the same way you accepted God's calling when God said you need to be saved or you're going to burn in hell. You just accepted it. And over time, God then gives you reasons why. God fills your mind with knowledge and understanding. So when God spoke that to me, I accepted it, but then my mind became thirsty. God, I want to know. I want to know it beyond any doubt. And so God began to show me things in his word, patterns in the Bible, numbers and words and things like that. And I just count things in the Bible. Tomorrow night I'll show you why I count things in the Bible. But let me show you this one. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Adam said, this is after God made his wife. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, and this is still Adam speaking, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now what I did was I counted all the words that Adam said there in Genesis chapter 2. There's exactly 46 of them. 46 words. Now remember, your DNA comes packaged in chromosomes, and there's exactly 46 of them. And I want you to look at the number, because it's based on genetics, and what exactly he said. The two shall be one flesh. So here's what happens. Your father donated 23 chromosomes. Your mother donated 23 chromosomes. Together, that makes 46, and that's the exact number of words that Adam spoke when he said the two shall be one flesh. Literally, literally, the two, these two right here, became One flesh. 23 from him, 23 from her. He now has 46. Isn't that beautiful? Now, let me give you this. What time is it? Oh, I'm letting you off easy tonight. In the Old Testament tabernacle, when God gave Moses the specific instructions for building that tabernacle, he even told him how many boards he wanted him to make it out of. And he said, down the north side of the tabernacle, I want you to put 20 boards. And on the south side, I want you to put 20 boards. And then across the front, there were no boards because that was the curtain, the opening. Across the back, 6. 20 plus 20 plus 6 is how much? 46, exactly. And inside the tabernacle was the book that God wrote inside of the 46 boards of the tabernacle. Then Solomon comes along and he builds a temple. And Solomon, at the front of that temple, turn to John chapter 2. I think it's where it is. John chapter 2. But when Solomon built his temple, he put two pillars in the front of that temple. One was called Jachin. The other one was called Boaz. Jachin was exactly 23 cubits tall. So was Boaz, 23 cubits tall. 46, exactly, in the temple where the book that God wrote was stored. Okay? That temple was destroyed, was it not? They built another one. And you remember what Jesus said? John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What temple was he talking about? Temple of is, look at the very next verse. How long did it take them to build that temple? 46 years exactly. And it's where the DNA, the book, was stored. Turn to the 46th book of the Bible. I bet I'll get there before you will. It is 1 Corinthians. Guess what you're going to find in the 46th book of the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Read that verse. Tell me what it says. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? There's an order to everything that God does. Everything. The 46th chapter of the New Testament, I'm going to give you one more. 46, I'll give you a $50 bill if you tell. No, I won't. I'm just kidding. Luke chapter 2. What's in Luke chapter 2, the 46th chapter of the New Testament? What's in Luke chapter 2? Christ, who was born the Son of Man and also the Son of God, showing up in the 46th chapter of the New Testament. If you look in the 46th chapter of the Old Testament, you know, you can find out the same thing. If you go to Genesis 46, you know what you're going to see? Oh, you're going to like this. Turn to Genesis 46. I dare you. Jesus is the Word, is he not? And the Word shows up in the 46th chapter of the New Testament. He shows up in a mystery, in a secret, in the 46th chapter of the Old Testament. Look in Genesis 46. This is when Jacob is being summoned to leave his home and come to Egypt. So he brings with him his seed, his children. If you look in verse 8, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. And it gives the whole list of everybody that came with Jacob down to Egypt. Look at the exact number of them in verse 26. The exact number of them. Huh? How many is that?
66.
And how many books are there in your Bible? 66, exactly. This book is in order. Every word, every chapter, because it was written by God. So is your DNA. It was written by God. It was put in your cell. Every cell in your body is a picture of the tabernacle of the wilderness. The cell wall, the cell membrane, is the curtain that went around the tabernacle. The nucleus is the sanctuary itself with the 46 boards. That's the 46 chromosomes that were inside the nucleus of the cells of your body. Even the mitochondria. Who remembers from biology what the mitochondria does? Anybody know? The mitochondria is what burns sugar. This is why I'm up here sweating. I'm burning sugar. Every cell in my body is burning fuel to power my body, and in the tabernacle, you had a brazen altar where they brought in food, things that people ate, and they put it on an altar of sacrifice, and they burn it there. Just like every cell of your body, you were made in the exact image of God's tabernacle, God's temple. Do you believe that you are the temple of God? Amen. One more verse, 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to leave you with this and let you fight over it and try to figure out what was he getting at. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, man. I would love to talk about all this. This would be cool. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now verse 1, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Are you ready for that gathering? I am. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any church. Let no man deceive you by any book. Let no man deceive you by any YouTube video. Any blog, any Christian bookstore, any Bible translation. Amen. Let a man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a what? Falling away. When does it happen? It happens first. Not second, not third, not fifth. The falling away happens first. And then what happens? That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called what? Everybody look up here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was... He will exalt himself above the Bible. And I used to do that. I used to preach in a pulpit, Brother Jamie, and exalt myself above my King James Bible when I said a better translation is, or in the original Greek, it really says, and what I was doing, I wasn't trying to accent the Bible by giving, you know, some nuance of Greek. I was trying to deliberately change the Word of God to make everybody think I was smart. And God chastened me hard for that, because I had a spirit of Antichrist exalting myself above all that is called God. This is supposed to be our final authority. This is God in this place, right here and right now. He will exalt himself above the Bible, or that is worshiped, so that he is God, sitteth where? Where is he going to sit? The temple of God. What is the temple of God? Our bodies are. The Antichrist is not going to have to force anybody to worship him. There's sinners all around Pea Ridge, Arkansas, is there not? Every one of them is worshiping Satan. They just don't see it that way. But we know from Ephesians 2 that they have the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Every lost person in this town is an agent of Lucifer. And they're doing it willingly. You used to. Nobody had to force you to drink. Nobody had to force you to take drugs. Nobody had to force you to do this. And no, you did it because you wanted to do it. And that's exactly... The Antichrist is going to rule from within the heart of every human being on this planet. They're going to do it willingly. Willingly. The false prophet does not force anyone to take the mark. He causes them. And they're going to do it willfully. Willingly. Because they already are right now. So when you change, I want you to think about this. God does not dwell in temples made with what? Man's hands. When they rewrite the genetics of a human being, that human being ceases to be who God made them to be. Now they have been reshaped by the hands of man. And God said, I don't dwell in those temples. So that leaves a void, that leaves an empty throne where the man of sin will reside one of these days. Think about it.